March, what is it, 3rd?
Yeah, it only feels like January.
Right. Roll call. We have Supervisor Nudo has called and will not be in attendance. Otherwise, we have everyone. We have the governor's got John here. Peter's not in attendance. Approval of the minutes of the, from the previous meeting. If everyone has received those and read those.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skliski, seconded by Supervisor Dodge to approve the previous minutes. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
The committee?
Aye. Aye.
Minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance. Items that we have before us here are all pretty clear. Now we have Peter here. So I have nothing this evening. Any committee member? Youth and governance? Now we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to address the committee on any matter pertaining to facilities, highways, parks, golf, and parks. We have 5 minutes to speak, and we just ask that you give your name and address before you would. Any citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to parks first this evening. Old business, John.
I've kind of got a little bit of the Katie master plan stuff just mixed in with Katie, so.
Right.
I'll start with the report. The Pringle Nature Center, they've, last fall, they elected a new secretary treasurer, and he sent me all the files, but they're in some sort of a Gmail archive, it says, and I can't open them, and IT couldn't open them either, so I'm going to have to work that out with them so they can send us their financials and their minutes. Katie Park, R.A. Smith did get a set of plans to me with estimates that would, for the north parking lot, the main road, the parking lots, and the boat launch. And what they sent us would be sufficient for me to use to submit for a parkland development grant, which would be 50-50 for the stewardship program. The mountain bike trails, really there's nothing going on there as far as work right now, but they are packing the trails out at Silver Lake and riding their fat tire bikes out there, mostly on weekends, but some nights after work as well. We're getting a lot of compliments from the public who are out there dog walking and hiking and that, and appreciate just having a packed trail to walk on and not just have to walk on the park road. Emerald Ashmore, nothing's changed there. Carol O'Neill is still working with the one consultant to see if we can retain his services and move on with putting the work out the bids to remove the ash trees. Kemper Improvements, Corp Council has been working with the city, and I think Gary just sent a letter to the city to vacate 66th Street. R.A. Smith has been working on a drainage and grading plan for the parking lot. Frank Martinelli is also working on a lighting plan for the Kemper campus to coincide with this, with the parking lot and 66th Street and everything else, light that campus up. And the pier removal right now is, I'm still waiting. I submitted a letter to the DNR that starts the ball rolling with the National Park Service to remove the structure, because again, that was built with lock-on funds. So it takes a decision from the National Park Service to do that, just like it did with all the tie-up with the tower. The house demolition, we have the two houses, the one we just purchased on 31 and Highway JR and the old park residence. The Summers Fire Department training officer, I play phone tag with him. I was told now he won't be back in until Thursday, but the fire department finally gave me an email So instead of just calling, leaving messages back and forth, I can email him and maybe he can answer me on working time or on his hours or whatever. So that's really all I have.
John, on that, the application for the Parkland funds, would our portion of that, some of that be covered by some of the work that we're talking about having a corporation that's going to
donate some? It would be if the work is done during the grant period.
Okay.
If it's done before it, then it wouldn't be eligible for
right.
Part of our
in kind, right? And when is the when would the grant time be?
Well, we won't find out, I believe, until I think it's the end of August. And then usually don't award till I want to say December 1st. So it'll be a ways out.
Ways out. Okay. Thank you. Any questions for John?
Mike? John, if you aren't making any headway with Summers on those houses in the fire department, let me know because I know a few people out there. Maybe we were just talking about
it. Well, it's just his weird hours. I mean, I think they work okay. So many days and then they're off.
Okay. But if we're not making progress, we'll bump it up a little bit.
Yeah. So it's just, he comes in and calls me on a Sunday or a Saturday, and then he's gone again by Monday. You know, and I don't answer the phone here, so.
You don't?
No. Not on Sunday.
I can't believe he's going to
answer.
Yeah, just to clarify for me, will you, Jonathan, the acronym LAWCON, what is LAWCON?
Land and Water Conservation.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John. Move on to golf. Dan is at a meeting in northern Wisconsin today, so didn't make it back, and I believe, Chris, you're going to
kind of put in. Basically, we expect to have the leaves for petrifying spring filled up very shortly. We're going to have about 400 players and trying to fill in Brightondale, also looking very good. So hopefully we can get the weather to break and actually get that going. Dan attended a show with the board and everything to show off our golf courses here at down in Chicago, and they're going to be doing one in Milwaukee March 14th and 16th. Passed out 2,250 coupons offering a discounted rate for a round of golf, and it had two coupons on it, and one's good through the first month or two, and then one's good for after that. Hopefully try to keep them coming back. Have over 12,000 people in their database for an email blast that they hope to do through Golf Channel Solutions. Also have a Facebook presence. They have installed new linoleum and carpeting in the Brightondale Clubhouse. Supposed to look very good. I've been over to see it, but supposed to blend in really well with the wood and look really, I guess, a lot better than the old theme. Have a new furnace installed, and that was the summary of stuff done. We're going to be working on opening up the clubhouse, knock on wood, April 4th for sales, and then really weather dependent on when they actually get to open up the golf course and the range. Projects still to be done. Or the irrigation on the White Birch course at Brightondale, paving of the maintenance shop, and also the road to the maintenance shop at Petrifying Springs, and then the cart pass over on Brightondale, and they got the requisitions in for the golf carts and beverage carts, and they should be delivered when the weather breaks. Any questions?
Hey, Chris, any questions for yes.
Do we ever get the end of season financials on last year, Jim? Or are we still kind of working?
Well? Almost done.
Okay. I know it usually kind of comes about this time.
If there's nothing else, we will move to facilities. Right.
Mr. Chairman,
test that report. The 60th Street Tower, we're installing of the racks and the equipment's progressing. We're actually going to be setting up testing of the fiber optic. Fiber optic goes out there, but it has to be converted to audio, and that's kind of a tricky little technology thing. So we're actually setting that up to test it, and then we're going to have a loop set up so that it records if there's any losses, any downtime, any losses in signals, so that we want to make sure we have that 100% right before we move on. And it looks like now we're looking at the end of March. Again, that's dependent on this testing. Any questions? Not KCDC HVAC controls project. We haven't been able to cut over any other HVAC units because of extremely cold weather on the top of the roof, but I'm happy to say they made a big dent in the number of VAV boxes they were able to get retrofitted, in large part because of, we already had that existing laptop, we just had to put the software on it, so they didn't have to go all the way back to their office through security and all the way forward, so that helped quite a bit. Any questions? If not, I'll move on to the Yule House. Carol actually sent me a report that I'll give. The price has been reduced to $295,000. The realtor sent out an email blast regarding the reduction. The party that was interested in the potential lease agreement with the county is still interested, but they have not yet been ready with an offer. There's been 16 showings on the property so far, but none since mid-January. The realtor is attributing the lack of recent showings to weather conditions. She said there's two main points of feedback. People are concerned about the unknowns with the HVAC and electric. And potential buyers are turned off by the addition. Carol asked the realtor if he can provide more information about the nature of the concerns with the HVAC and the electric. Any questions?
I one comment on that. I think when we agreed to down the prices on these things, I think potential buyers are going to have to be very aware that this is an as-is piece of property, and it's a heck of a price. So there are going to be questions, but I don't think that that we want to spend any money alleviating their concerns over it. I mean, just so I'm sure no one would until they talk to us. But I mean, if somebody has the right use for that building, 290 some thousand, and they're not going to offer us that, it's going to be a steal. So.
That's a good point. I agree. I'll pass it on to Carol. Any other questions on the Yule House? I'll move on to the KCAP Critical Facade and Roof Survey. The bids were received February 5th. The winning bid was by Building Restoration Corp. Their Wisconsin office is in Madison. Their national headquarters is out of Minneapolis. The winning bid was, and you'll see what the bid breakdown on the next sheet, $2,293,251. I'll explain that. Looks like we'll be scheduled for them to start mobilizing March 31st or a few days after that in April. The bid breakdown, we had four competitive bids. Building Restoration Corp, Bully and Andrews Masonry Restoration out of Chicago, Mosey, of course, out of Kenosha, and then Berglund out of Chicago, who did the courthouse. Building Restoration, the base bid and the alternatives, which I'll go through, they were lowest on when we added both the base bid and the alternates. So the alternate A was a 5-year warranty in all labor and material, which we had also asked for on the courthouse and came out very reasonable. If you can see here, they were quite a bit higher than everybody else, and we suspect that they miscalculated on that. But even with that, they were still the low bidder. Going on to alternate B, this is talking about the north entrance to KCAB where the employees and everything go into. The thought was there was to add there's no loading dock and everything had to go up into the stairs. So the thought there was to add a convenience ramp and a canopy to add some weather protection from the weather. So the alternate C, and this is really what we were hoping for, there's only one ADA accessible entrance at the main entrance. So to be able to make the north entrance with an ADA accessible ramp, that was really was the goal. We were hoping to have enough money for that. So if you included all the alternates, A, B, and C, it came up to $2,453,000, et cetera. Taking into consideration we have a little over $2.6 million in this, the architect fees, which is about $152,000, plus with the excavating portion of this, we want to make sure that we have enough contingency if we run into anything below grade. Anything from a diesel oil tank or anything that might have to be remediated. So to boil this down, if you look at tab number 8, it has the base bid plus really B and C, and B and C together, really what it gives you is the ADA accessible ramp and the canopy with new stairs on the back. With that, with the architectural fee, gives us about 10% contingency with this project. In other words, as of this time, it looks like we would not be going with the 5-year warranty. Now, having said that, when we get done with the job, if we still have quite a bit of contingency, we can go back and revisit that with them. See if we can get that as part of the project. Any questions on that?
So they've been awarded this then?
I think it's in the contract phase.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Just point of clarity, is B and C, the only, essentially the ADA ramp and the convenience ramp, are those the same or those different?
They were different. The ADA ramp is much longer,
gradual.
Correct. Much more gradual, much more longer, much more bigger. That was ultimately the goal, was hoping to have enough money to get the ADA ramp, but if we just didn't have enough money, at least we could get the convenient ramp to make things, so bringing supplies in and out to go up that ramp.
So the way we're looking at it now with the price that is under them, that's both with the convenience and the ADA ramp?
Correct. Well,
are they side by side? Or?
No, actually the convenience ramp is... The alternate C is really replacing the convenience ramp with the ADA ramp, which is...
So one ramp. I got
correct.
Okay.
One ramp.
Yep.
Correct.
It snakes back and forth, though, so it makes it a longer gradual thing, so it actually gets a C shape to it.
Okay.
As far as the warranty goes, also, a number of the components, such as the HVAC and the roofing, have a lot longer warranties. This would just be on the... actual mortar and kind of brickwork that we were looking to extend that. the other components all will have extended warranties, and we still at least have a 1-year warranty on that kind of work at this point.
What was our original budget figure for that, Frank?
Actually, what we estimated, it came in, what we had in the budget was a little over $2.6 million. But what we estimated for this job, it came in within a few percent of what we estimated.
Okay. So that's when you're saying if there isn't any hidden treasures below.
Correct.
Then maybe we have time, we have some leftover funding
correct.
To revisit.
Correct.
The money. How many years has it been in the courthouse right now then? 2, 3?
Actually, I think we're going on our 3rd year.
Okay. So far, so good?
So far, so good. Very good.
Do you think that extended warranty is worth it then?
If we can get it reasonable enough, looking at some of these others, you know, there's quite a difference there. In that range, talking to the architect, if we can get it reasonable enough, he feels yes.
I think that that's something perhaps negotiable, because I'm just thinking, wondering if they just shifted a little bit to the warranty, lowered the base price with the hopes of capturing it, you know, capturing the contract.
That's true. That's a good point. Unfortunately, with the way the state laws on bidding are written, it's written, literally written in stone when they provide the numbers.
Okay.
But like I said, if we have enough money left in the end, and they can go back and take a look at where they were so wildly off, I think as long as we don't run into any old diesel tank down there that we have to remediate, I think we'd be in good shape.
Thanks.
Doug?
Two questions. What was alternate A?
Okay, alternate A was the 5-year warranty.
Okay.
What it does, the roof has a 20-year warranty on it. The HVAC comes with a 1-year warranty on everything. This would give you a 5 years complete labor and material warranty. In this case especially, our waterproofing system that we spec'd out is very, very good. But if we did have a leak, just excavating and things like that, there's additional costs, so that would protect us there.
Now, are they going to be doing like any stone masonry type work that was done on the courthouse?
Correct. Every single stone, either it's okay, it just needs to be mortared, the mortar needs to be replaced, or it needs to be repaired, or it needs to be, the stone itself needs to be replaced.
And I remember the consultant that we had for the courthouse said that it's really important that you have a qualified contractor, because if you get a contractor that's not qualified, you can have what happened up in Milwaukee at City Hall.
Correct.
Where within a year and a half it was failing. So are we confident that this person is not the same contractor that did the City Hall in Milwaukee?
Correct. It is not the same contractor. In fact, our qualification process, we used almost virtually identical qualification process for this, and the masons had to have extensive experience with this type of limestone, this scale and size of a job, and Building Restoration Corp has many jobs that fulfill that, and actually Steve Markle, the architects, worked on them with them on many of those jobs also. So they not only met the thresholds of the criteria for just to be allowed to bid on this, but the architects personally work with them, so he feels extremely good about their experience.
That would be my major concern. The last thing you want to do is spend $2.5 million and then fight over the fact that it's not done right.
In fact, their specialty is historic restoration.
There's a very good chance that we'll have this done before that street's fixed out in front. Very good chance. Anything else for Frank on that? Otherwise, Frank, move on.
I'll turn it over to Chris Mason for the next item.
I wanted to, I'm very glad to introduce Mike Tran, because you've already kind of introduced him around to you guys. But Mike has a moving up the ranks, started to Codian ESB all the way up to now is the director for the facilities maintenance, and knows all the lots and lots of stuff that throughout the whole history of Kenosha County, and they made me talk about my stuff, so I'm going to turn it over to you. And like all new hires, he's a Bears fan.
No.
I thought I'd put that down.
That'll be your pain.
I'm all by myself still.
No, a few others. I've worked for the county for 28 years, six as a custodian, and then as a relief custodian for probably half the amount of years again. The relief custodian works under the building chiefs as a maintenance helper, and the other half years have been as the building chief at the safety building for a year, and then the job center for the rest of the time. I think the job center is pushing on 13 or 14 years. So, did the courthouse landscaping last year. That was a real fun project from start to finish. Frank's help. Other than that, I have a lot of experience. I know all the people. I don't know the board of supervisors really well, but I know. So I'm here now. So.
I guess. He's hit the ground running, and we've already
it was a fun week.
Tackled a pretty long list of things, the goals and accomplishments that we want to go through. So we're working through, and happy to come to our meeting from here on out.
Yep.
So if you have anything you need to address or any questions, let us know. We'll make sure we get them answered as we go through.
All right, thank you. Nice to meet you. Congratulations. So is that it, Frank? All right. Gary Sipsma.
First item I have is, and let me clarify that apparently there was a little error in the copy of the resolution that I had sent out. This is addressing a railroad crossing on Highway 50 at the Union Pacific Railroad. If you're familiar with that, it's near the intersection of Cooper Road and 75th Street. The crossing for some time has been very rough. It's got a rubber pad crossing. I handed out some pictures of some of the condition of the crossing. They were taken last fall. It's pretty. We regularly receive complaints about it. City, village, same thing. We did some research in the Wisconsin statutes, of which I included a copy of that too, just to remind you of we've addressed these in the past pretty successfully, but as part of the statutes, the railroad companies are required to maintain the crossings, and if in fact they don't keep them in good repair, the county board is one of the entities that by resolution can require the railroad to come in and repair the crossing. So what this resolution will do is to require the railroad to complete those repairs, and if it's approved by the county board, I will send it to the railroad, in this case the Union Pacific Railroad, asking them to cooperate with the county board's request to have that repair done, and then if they don't comply, then we take further action by filing the complaint with the Office of the Commissioner of Railroads on the state level. So. That's the resolution for you tonight.
If, for the committee, if we do not do this, then the railroad commissioner doesn't get notified. So first we have to notify the railroad itself. We already have talked to them, but if they don't make a move, that's why we do this. So this is the... we've done this many times since I've been here. And they always get it fixed then.
Eventually.
Yep.
Do you think they'll use this rubber extension again, or do you see it, or is it just
they
ebb and flow, and one time they use it and they don't?
It's kind of come full circle. They were using it for a long time, then they switched over to concrete, and now they're starting to get away from the concrete and going back to the rubber, and I'm not sure about the technology involved in it, but... I thought the concrete ones were working real well, so it would be up to the railroad to choose the material. but we don't have to say.
From what I remember, driving through there, it kind of comes in, I think it's Cooper Road where the intersection is, and you know, drops down to it, and then it kind of comes back up. It's almost like it's in a valley instead. I don't know. Obviously, they can't raise their tracks. Is that ever...
Yeah, they actually can raise their tracks, okay. And they probably would. Typically, that's what happens when they come in to repair the surface of the crossing. They come in and also repair underneath the... they can actually lift up the ties and pack new stone and base material underneath them. To what extent they will, I really don't know. Okay. But we've been trying for quite some time to get these things repaired and just haven't been successful, so
thank you.
Taking formal action.
Doug?
I just heard on the radio within the last few days, I think it was in Waukesha, a car hit one of these rubberized tracks and was launched 130 feet through the air and into a building. I guess he got a ticket for going too fast.
Speeding?
Just maybe, yeah.
There must be some spring to that rubber, though.
It's probably one of those road tracks that goes up a little bit.
So if there's nothing else, can I have a motion on this?
Move to approve.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Dodd, seconded by Supervisor Skoliski to approve. Any further discussion? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Well, that carries. I've got the signature page here, Doug. Okay, Gary.
The second item is a resolution to support a Kenosha Countywide bike route and guiding sign project that the county is applying for funding through the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. This isn't a highway project, it's actually a transportation alternatives program that the DOT has. We weren't seeking out this project, but when the DOT sent out notification of available funding, it actually hit a bullseye as to the number one priority in the Kenosha County comprehensive bike plan. So we did move forward with the first phase of this application, which was approved by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. And basically, what the project will do is fund the installation of guide signs and bicycle route signs along all the designated routes throughout Kenosha County and throughout all the municipalities, the city and villages also. What would be different about this project is it would be using what they refer to as mobile aware technology, where each of the signs or kiosks or any marker post that's along any of the existing trails or bike routes would have what they refer to as a QR code. You probably see them in magazines that where you scan them and then information on your smartphone pops up. What we would be looking to do is to develop a web-based site that would provide information to anybody that scanned these QR codes, and the information that we'd be looking at would be mapping information to show where within the county or what highways you're on. It would have destinations such as the county parks, any type of business, any type of recreational material. It's almost limitless as to what information you could put on these. But anybody that and most people do these days have some sort of smartphone that, that could scan these, would be able to retrieve all sorts of information that some transportation related, but a lot of it just information that supports other activities in the county. So a big part of this project is the development of this program. It's not something that we have found elsewhere. It's something that we would like to have developed exclusively for Kenosha County, and that's a big part of this project is that development of the web-based application. As I said, we did submit a first round application for this project to the DOT, and they really liked what we were trying to achieve, and they did approve the first phase of the application. The second phase of the application, because it's not a traditional highway project, they did ask that we have support of the application from the county board, which is what is in front of you tonight. This does not involve the funding of this project at this point. This is supporting the application and the concept of the project. Any funding associated with this project would still go through our normal budget process, and if we're successful with the application, it would likely be included in the 2015 budget and would go through our normal approval process.
Gary, what did we get in the first application?
The first application, all we did was submit the whole concept, the project summary that was included in your packet, or it was in your email packet anyways. It was basically just this concept of what we were trying to
achieve. There's no monetary values yet at all?
No.
Okay.
No, we're... the first phase of it only included this, the project description.
Description.
And,
yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, I've got one of those smartphones, and I'm familiar with the little logos that you, barcodes that you scan. My question is, we're going to have these on the bike trails, and you said that they're going to notify of nearby businesses and restaurants. Do these businesses and restaurants, are they going to contribute money to be included in that barcode?
We've not even got that far in the program yet. I mean, it's just an idea of a destination
that could be
available. We've not proceeded that far in the project to determine anything like that. And I know I was a little bit hesitant to even mention businesses because I know that it does present issues, as to how you support them, but I was just kind of using that as an example of the information that could be in there. I mean, we could have like the museums and parks, and there's just some.
I just brought it up to maybe things. Less than the cost for the taxpayers, so, but there's no money involved at this time. I like the idea.
Yeah, and in the second phase, there is going to be a request for a certain funding level too. So I mean, I want to make sure you're clear that that first phase wasn't an approval of funding, but that's what we're asking for is for funding to support this project through the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's program. So we will establish a dollar amount that we're going to request in the second phase here. And it's an 80% state and federal, 20% county match program.
Anything else, or Doug?
It sounds expensive. I mean, I don't want to see any numbers here, but my guess is that this would be pretty expensive to implement this program. So 20% might be a pretty big number.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, we are going to put a dollar amount in the application, but because it's not an established technology, it's not an established program, it's going to be very difficult. It'll just be an estimate at this point, and if we never go through with the project, you know, it's not costing us anything to try.
Well, just like you said, it's hard to say. It's hard to say I'll support it once I know what the number is. But, I like the concept, but I think it's going to be, it might be too expensive for me to support once I know how much it's going to be.
All the numbers will be given in the budget process. You know, like I say, if it's approved, all the actual numbers will be presented during the budget process for next year. And it will be clearly assigned to this project, so there shouldn't be any misunderstanding as to what funds are being applied to what project in our budget.
Anything else? Right.
Let me finish up. So I just want to make sure I understand. We're asking then, with this resolution, this alternatives program, to approve the concept, or to, are we going to be putting some dollar amounts when you put together your
We're going to be requesting dollar amounts. I mean, an estimated dollar amount to be allocated to this, allocated is the right word, set aside for this project.
Yeah.
Yes, but If the steps are us applying for the funding for the project, then the state either approves it or does not. Then there's a project agreement that is established between the state and the county, and then at that point. We go through the budget process. If that's approved, then we sign the agreement with the state, and then they allocate those funds to the county. So nothing, there is no, we're not committing any funding until the project agreement is signed.
So this is just the step number two, if you would, saying, okay, this is what we're proposing. This is our estimate.
Correct.
Doesn't belong in this resolution at this time, your estimate. Okay. Do you know, so that's fine. So that would be coming back to us later. Any idea of how many signs?
Well, if every route in the entire county was signed, I believe it was about 670.
Okay. Is there any, because obviously you've signed costs something.
Mm-hmm.
Would your sign shop do the work, or would you outsource it? What's your thoughts, sir?
Typically, when you use state and federal funds, they require you to contract out the work, so I suspect that would be the case. Okay. But I've not seen that. Those type of details are usually included in the project agreement when we get to that final step.
Yeah.
But I doubt we would be able to do that.
And when we get to that step, there may be signs of varying complexity and size.
Correct.
Because there's not only the sign, it's the pole and the installation and all the other things.
Correct.
So we don't have any ideas on that cost yet. We're kind of working through it. The 80-20 is fine. How does this different then, or is this, included in the overall comprehensive bike plan, or is this something additional?
In the comprehensive bike plan, there were prioritized steps that we would take to implement the plan, and the first and highest priority was to install guide and route signs on existing routes, on existing highways, on existing paths, not building new paths, building new lanes, none of that, just signing what we already have. And that was the number one priority. And when we looked, when we received the information from the DOT about this program, that was their goal. That was the alternative things that you could accomplish within that program. That was their number one thing, was to install route and guide signings on existing facilities, not building new ones.
So that was kind of the impetus behind putting the resolution. Let's say they introduced this program.
Right.
Are you aware of any other, because there's a lot of municipalities around the United States that they're using something similar, that we could use some of their learnings going forward?
I've not heard of anybody that is doing exactly this with the QR codes, but there's a number of municipalities that tie their facilities into existing mapping programs for biking and running. There's this program called Map My Ride and Map My Run, where you can enter specific routes into that program that somebody else operates, and it just stays there. It's recorded there for other people to use. And I know there are some municipalities. I did look at one in California. I forget which one of the cities outside of Los Angeles that did that very extensively. I mean, they put all their routes in this Map My Ride so that, you know, people could look on there and find routes that other people had established. So there's kind of things on the periphery of what we're trying to do, but, you know, we're also trying to tie in a little bit more than just the mapping part. We want to get from a tourism standpoint, we want to try to get, you know, people acquainted with what is available in the county and try to support everything that we know about, but, you know, others might not know so much.
And then, is this something, because essentially once you load it in, it's almost like a website that kind of runs itself and maybe updated every so often if somebody adds something to it. Is that something that we would do internally? You think you'd have to contract that out? If you know how to do that stuff, it isn't a big deal.
We can absolutely do it internally. In fact, we've already had the IT department has actually worked on just a little sample program they developed that has, I think, it's one of the segments in the city of Kenosha where it does almost exactly what we are hoping this will do. So they tested it and they determined that it certainly is possible to do. And so it looks promising. I mean, we're really 100% confident that this can work.
Well, the technology's there.
There's no doubt.
And maybe I'm getting a little bit, but you have a feel for how often one of these signs would be there. You're a bicyclist. And personally, would you stop to want to scan one of these things? Is that something that is regularly done, or is it something we're trying to change behavior patterns? Because if you get in a ride and all of a sudden you're moving along, you don't always have to stop for the sign to scan it. But I didn't know if they were 3 miles apart or...
Not necessarily. Mostly just, they would just be at intersections where you would be stopping anyways. And then at, we'd also include kiosks where... at the beginning and ending of like our established paths, like on the north and the south side of Kenosha where the existing paths are, we put kiosks that identify the path and So it would be at naturally occurring stopping locations. Okay. Yeah, I mean it's not totally geared for all of the local residents, but yeah, I mean there's a lot of. It's hard for me to, because I'm so familiar with the county, but there's a lot of people that ride that, once they get out in the county, they have no clue where they are. And we have discussed this at different groups with other cyclists, and I'm also on a committee for the downtown Kenosha. And I talked to them a little bit about it, and they were just thrilled to death of the local businesses, and not even to advertise or something about their business, but just to get people to to get to their location. That's what they're all about, is getting people to the downtown in that case, or wherever it might be.
I think one thing about that is that you shouldn't necessarily cross sectors, but they already are taxpayers. So there's no reason it can't be just a list of local businesses in it. That's all it is. This is available to you if you keep going this way.
Sure.
Okay, I think we have enough information on this resolution now. We're getting into conversation here, so unless there anybody has a question, another question. Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve. Any other discussion? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Quick question. Are Youth and Governance allowed to move to second, or is that only?
No, you're not allowed.
Okay. Yeah. I'll clarify that.
So we have another side page there. Okay, Gary.
Just quickly, the report this winter is just brutal. It's just a beat down of our department. It's our employees are beat, our equipment's breaking down, budget's busted, salt is almost depleted. It's just, there's nothing good about it. So one thing that we are doing, just so you're aware, we're forced to do is we are reducing the amount of salt that we're using both on the state and the county roads. We're at perilously critical levels of salt, and there is no salt available anywhere. You can't buy salt. So if you wanted to. The state notified us last Friday that we're now applying one-third the rate that we had previous. We used to buy it at 300 pounds per lane mile. They have ordered us or directed us to reduce that to 100 pounds per lane mile. We did that over the weekend. The results weren't quite up to what we normally would see, but they were still pretty good. As of today, every county trunk highway will have a 50-50 sand salt mix used instead of the straight salt, because we're down to less than 2,000 tons, and and there's no end in sight right now for the amount of snow. Every look at the weather forecast, it's snow tonight, snow tomorrow night, snow Friday night, snow Saturday. It's just snow, 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 snow. So we just can't take the chance of.
Gary, are we in the, we're that far in the next year's salt, that 2 year salt that we bought?
The 2000 is the end of next year's salt.
Next year's. So yes. So we'll be up to 12,000.
We'll be up to over 12,000 tons.
So we usually use 7,500.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, and we'd be out.
We'll be out.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What happens when we're out?
You walk.
Does school get canceled? Yeah, that's an important question.
Yeah. We're doing everything we can to not run out.
All right. Are there any alternatives? Like, I'm not sure what your plan B is if we do run out of salt.
The only alternative we have is that we do use a liquid magnesium chloride product, and if we direct sprayed that onto the pavement, it may work. We actually experimented with that a little bit, just in case, and it had okay results, but didn't do what a straight salt was.
But that has to go on dry pavement.
Well, you could start, I mean, we tried directly spraying it on, we had a little icy section over on MB here, and we tried to direct spray it to see what effect it would have, and it wasn't the best, we're just desperately trying not to get into that situation where we ran out of salt.
Right. Doug?
You know, right after our last meeting, then days after it, I know I heard on the radio that two ships came into port in Milwaukee with salt, but you say that there's no salt available, right?
Those two ships got through. That was salt that had already been sold by the previous contract. In fact, there are municipalities that are not going to have any of their salt delivered to them that had already purchased it, because right now there is no salt on the dock in Milwaukee. They're not even able to honor their previous contract with municipalities that did not get their deliveries earlier in the season. One of the ships that came through was damaged so severely by the ice that they won't allow any more shipping in the Great Lakes.
So all that salt is gone?
It's all gone. And
two shiploads.
Yep. And, yeah.
50,000 ton one, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a lot, but you know, I mean, they supply a lot of different municipalities, so there's no salt on the dock in Milwaukee now, and there's no ships. Right now, the Great Lakes are 90% froze over, and they're not going to allow any more shipping.
Right.
Is there any land shipments that are done?
There's some rail that can be done, but it's so cost prohibitive, and I've not heard of anybody even getting any deliveries by rail. I know there's some that come out of Utah, but there's nothing locally.
This stuff's from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania and Ohio, yeah. It's actually mined underneath Lake Erie.
I know those guys haven't had any days off. They've just burnt out.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a beatdown this year. I don't know. I'd feel better if the forecast looked better, but it doesn't.
You and me both. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that wants to make a living. Anything else here?
No.
Chris, do you have anything else?
Not.
If not, we'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second by Supervisor Noble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Ricky, do you have both of those?